Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all enjoy the thoroughly lovely Duckhorn Napa Valley Chardonnay. Further, do wine reviews have a use in today's consumer society? Well, sit back, relax, and find out those answers and more on the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, Rob.
Oh, hello, sir. I am also joined by a quizzical Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes. On tonight's show, we have a wine from a producer we have spoke well of many times, but never actually had their wine on the show in earnest. We've had their fake versions of their wine, but their fake Rolex, as it were.
Yeah.
But never really went the full Monty. Now, I do have plenty of this winery's wine in my wine vault, but that's for me when I'm by myself with no one else around. That's right. Now, the wine in question. Oh, by myself, I do that, yes.
It's an old friend.
That's true. Well, hey.
It is an old friend.
It is. But anyway, it is the winery Duckhorn. Not Decoy, mind you. This is, or Migration, or whatever the hell else they have.
No.
This is Duckhorn, and it's their Napa Valley Chardonnay. And then you're like, oh, the Chardonnay? It's like, yes, we upstaged, and we did not go full bullshit and do Sauvignon Blanc. We did Chardonnay.
Well,
we didn't do Merlot, we didn't do Cabernet, but Chardonnay. Well, Chardonnay.
And how much you pay for it?
Well, retail, this wine goes for $36 a bottle. I happen
that's
to...
That's crazy.
Well, that's what Napa...
Doesn't it seem like that's crazy?
Well, that's what Napa Chardonnay goes for. That's what expensive Chardonnay... Well,
and it's
that's mid-price Chardonnay, really.
Yeah, and it's Duckhorn. This is their... Mm-hmm. This is the label. This isn't the Decoy.
Yeah, it's the same price as Trefethen would be or any of those guys. I mean, Mondavi's Napa is cheap because it's shitty. Franciscan's Napa is cheap because it's shitty. This is not that. This is a winery of a far higher cut. So,
but you can buy this at Kroger.
Yes, you can. And yeah, that's one reason people don't buy $36 bottles of Chardonnay at Kroger. I was able to acquire this for $21 of my money.
Yippee.
And that's why I bought it. Happy me.
Happy show.
Otherwise, I would not be buying it at $36 of my money because I don't buy $36 Chardonnays.
Yeah, right. Not for whites.
No, really. I'd buy Rayburn at a fraction of the price.
Yep.
Yes, because I like that. But maybe there's a reason why you would pay $36.
We will see.
We shall see. They couldn't hear you, though. Tonight, we have we've broken down and admitted that we need headphones. So tonight we are on the headphones.
Technology is a wonderful thing.
Headphones are not new technology, although they might be to you.
To us.
Yes.
And to be clear, I'm using the free ones that come with an iPhone.
Yes.
And not even my current iPhone. These are old iPhone headphones.
Now, in fairness, though, they have never been used before. And I wanted to buy you headphones, but you would not agree to it.
Right.
And the headphones Scott and I wear are $10 headphones.
Yeah,
so we're just breaking the bank.
Yes, we are. Well, they're studio headphones. They're the base, the cheapest studio headphones. It's actually the same company that makes our soundboard and everything, Behringer. And I have quite a few products from them, and they always make good stuff. So
I love their Ben 50 series.
That's Behringer. This is with an H. And Behringer. How's that?
Do you think if we were fancy, we would have gone for wireless headsets?
I don't think that you use wireless studio headsets because of interference.
Oh, man.
That's okay. Why you're not allowed to use your cell phone.
That's why we have just wires all over the counter.
Yes. Yeah. We are certainly not wireless. And by the way, don't let your glass trip over that wire.
Yeah.
Yes. It's nice. We have complicated our lives infinitely. Yes. Nevertheless, though, maybe I'll drill a hole in the middle of the table and then we can just pop them out from the bottom.
Or maybe not.
No,
I'm not going to do that. Nevertheless, folks.
So let's talk about the glasses we're drinking out of.
We are. Triple B is passive aggressive by nature, and she is complaining because she has a Riedel Venom Series Chardonnay glass. And Scott and I have.
I thought it was a Zen glass.
No, that's a Chardonnay glass.
Chardonnay.
Yes, Scott and I have Wine Series Riedel Chardonnay glasses. Now, Scott and I do have the Montrachet version that are the oaked version, but the Triple B has an aversion to oaky wines. Ergo, she gets the wine that might mute the oak a bit.
The glass.
That too. All of the above. I always mark D on tests. You know, why not? So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So the 2015 Duckhorn Chardonnay from Napa Valley in California. Now, this wine does have some reviews.
Okay.
And just because we always do this, first of all, we're going to give you some background information on this wine, tell you a little bit about the way it's made. This wine in particular is 100% Chardonnay, which might not be surprising. You know, could be Semillon.
Do you ever mix it with anything?
Well, sometimes a little Semillon, sometimes a few things, but normally...
What would that do?
Give it a little twinkle.
Yeah.
A little twinkle. Maybe give a little more fruity edge to it, depends. But normally, California Chardonnay is 100% Chardonnay, most generally. But this is on 10 months on oak, and 90% of that is French. Let's see, the other 10, okay. And 45% of that is new oak. Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually 10 months on oak, but 90% French, 10% stainless. So 10% of the wine is unoaked. That's what they were saying.
Okay.
And it would help if I wrote it correctly on my piece of paper. Well, but hey, whatever.
That's interesting. They don't use any American.
No, they do not. Mm. They do not love America. They, if they would choose, leave it if it was in that love it or leave it question.
Or they like the quality and experience of French oak.
Or they hate America.
Oh, my God.
So, and I'm okay with that. That's okay. I'm not going to judge them.
But Rob is going on Fox News tonight.
I have a question about Chardonnay.
What's
being
that?
Oaked.
Yes.
Or just, I guess, wines in general.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think at a certain price point you should expect to not have any American oak?
Not necessarily, because American oak can be quite fine.
Yeah.
Not all American oak is created equal. See, we always get the bad impression of it because we drink it out of this slap shit that we drink.
Yeah, we do all the time.
And you know, on budget and entry price stuff, you can't expect the better stuff. I mean, yeah.
Some of these wines we make drink taste like they made it out of a fucking paint bucket.
Right.
I mean,
they do. Right. But that's what I was asking.
Yeah, I understand. Those, I mean, that's American oak, not American oak. You
so
understand there's a difference, right?
What would be an example of a wine oaked in American oak that's good that we've had?
You mean American oak?
No, American oak that's good that we've had.
Oh, well.
It's not unusual that we see it in the Zins turn around a lot of 50-50 or, you know, maybe some new and some used American oak.
There's also some European wines that Spain.
They're using them.
They use American oak?
They occasionally do.
Some.
They're going for a certain style, so.
I can't believe you said the slap shit wine that we normally drink.
Well, slap shit, yes.
It's not wrong.
Double
Think
douche.
Double down.
Is slap shit.
19 crimes.
You know, you're slapping a turd around. It's like hockey, kind of, only it's not.
It's not fun. A hockey puck. It's
and it's a little messy.
Bad red wine.
No, it's actually turds. But nevertheless, speaking of turds, the reviews of this wine, we have three reviews. One of them I would suggest would be legitimate. The other two are by slapshit wine reviewers. The first, and it's the lowest, unfortunately, but nevertheless, newly retired Robert Parker's Wine Advocate. He is retired, by the way, folks.
Since when?
What?
Since a year ago, I think.
Hmm.
He is now a recluse, like Sean Connery.
I didn't know that Sean Connery was a recluse.
Have you seen
I didn't
him?
Know he was sick.
Do you know who else is a recluse?
Who?
Richard Simmons.
I don't think of Sean Connery and Richard Simmons at the same time. Okay, Robert Parker.
He had a podcast.
Equally as famous.
He
Richard
did.
Richard Simmons is missing.
He wasn't on that. It was a bunch of freakos.
Ooh, where's Richard Simmons? Who cares where fucking Richard Simmons is? So, the 2015 Chardonnay opens with apples, pears, and peaches, with it touches of croissant and honeysuckle.
What?
Croissant and honeysuckle, or crescent roll. Does that help you? Medium to full body.
I don't know how this is going to taste like a croissant.
Fresh baked bread. Very buttery. Satiny and fresh. No.
Okay.
It has lovely expressiveness. Then the next wine. Reviewer, sort of.
Are you drunk?
Not yet.
Does he sound like it?
I'm trying to adapt to hearing my voice so clearly on the mic and freaking out every time I hear it. But the wine enthusiasts gave it 91 of their points. All 91 of them. This is a concentrated and deliciously lush white wine, highlighted in thick notions of honey, pear, and swirls of caramel, expressive and ripe. It does justice to the warm vintage and focused winemaking. Then lastly, it's Scott's favorite wine reviewer. No, it's not James Suckling. This is not from Chile. It is Wilford Wall. Yes, the man that's insignificant in wine reviews.
Well, him
and Jamie. Beautiful and demonstrative. Ooh, he looked up that word. It's a big word. He looked that up, didn't he? The 2015 Duckhorn Vineyard Chardonnay, and they wrote that in the wine review so it looked longer. That's padding. That's how he does that. Excites the palate with its ripe apple and savory oak aromas and flavors. This wine's long and persistent finish pairs it well with an oven-baked capon dressed in fragrant herbs.
An oven-baked what?
Fish.
Hmm.
I like how, though, he put the whole damn name of the winery in there as if you did not know what it was, seeing that the damn... Jesus.
Yeah.
But, Scott, you, deep down, you respect Wilford Wong, so I know.
I do. Not only that, I respect Duckhorn.
Do you?
You know an interesting thing they do?
What do they do?
They sell half bottles for half the price of the 750 ml on their website.
Do they? Normally, that's not the way
that
works.
That's shocking.
Well, yeah.
You know, that reminds me of a story I've never told. Maybe I even told on the show.
I know. Are you having deja vu?
I am.
Anyway, so there was this. I was in a wine shop in Columbus, and this
Were
younger...
Were you at Carnado's?
No, that's actually a Mexican restaurant.
What did you say then?
I think it's a pork dish.
I've never talked about this before. Anyway, this younger guy, he's in his 20s, comes in and he goes, he's buying expensive Napa Valley Cabernets half bottles because he's saving money. He goes, we can't drink the whole bottle anyway. And he's spending like $49 at a half bottle for a bottle that costs $65. And so as soon as he leaves, the owner's like, hey, man, I sell to suckers just the same as normal people. That asshole thinks he's saving money.
Next thing you know, he's going to start a collection of half bottles.
Yeah,
you might.
Verticals.
You should, Scott.
Well,
you're the kind of man that would do that.
Port.
Yeah,
half bottles of port.
Half. Well, that's still stupid.
Yeah.
Then you get depressed when you get to the bottom of the half bottle. And you wish you had a whole bottle. That's why we always want magnums. We should just start buying
Gerbums. Magnums. Yeah. Ooh,
3 liters,
gallon bottles.
I know, but anyway, the wine, folks, in the glass. First of all, a yellow straw. But still has a lot of good clarity to it. It's very radiantly clear. Look at that.
It's pretty light.
Yeah. But it is. It's not a deep tone.
Mm-hmm. Stunning.
This isn't the most current vintage, I don't believe, but this is not showing a day of age.
Nope. Their website has the 17.
Yep.
And for those that don't know, as Chardonnay ages, it gets a little bit browner and a little bit darker. And
brown.
This is not showing any of elements of age. That's a good way to tell if your Chardonnay is old. If it looks like, well, let's just say...
someone dehydrated.
Yes, dark piss. You understand that you're drinking, you know, something by Toad Hollow and you shouldn't. So, by the way, we forgot those bottles in the refrigerator and I found them. I'm like, oh, they're down there right now. So,
ew.
I was like, ew, I don't want that. So,
dang it.
On the nose, folks. I smell pear.
Mm-hmm.
I smell London. I smell... No, sorry. Well, I smelled pear.
Maybe a touch of Granny Smith?
Yeah.
The fleshiness of it, yes. A sweet Granny Smith, though.
I think I smell maybe a touch of something citrus. And when I really stick my nose in, there's...
honeysuckle.
Yeah.
No, I was going to go, I can almost smell something earthy.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, a little minerality. I don't smell that, but I smell the honeysuckle right on top of it. It's like a blanket.
Almost like a slate, I can smell.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that somewhere there.
Mm. I like this nose.
Yeah. I do too.
It's simple, nice. Straightforward. It's not a big nose. It's these things we're talking about are subtle, other than those two first fruit components.
It's a sophisticated nose for sophisticated people. Luckily, I'm here. So here I go.
I got one word for you. Sophistication. Sophistication is not corduroy. I'm just saying.
It has a little bit of an oily mouthfeel.
It's just slightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, the finish. Oh. Mm-hmm. The finish radiates with spicy French oak. That's where it kicks in and just explodes. Tropical fruits, pear, caramel, or caramel, however you prefer to pronounce it. Hopefully not like caramel, but still.
Wonderfully, skillfully oaked.
Mm-hmm.
It's... This is... I'll tell you what. This makes me believe in $35 wines. $35 Chardonnays.
Well, this $35 Chardonnay.
Yeah.
This is an oak Chardonnay.
It is an oak Chardonnay. But it shows a very, very mature adult version of oak. The finish is very heavy of oak and toast, but it's what you need to expect with this wine. But it has the mouthfeel to balance it. Mm-hmm. And it comes in at the end. So it's the finish. It's the crescendo. Yep. It's not overpowering the front and the mid palate. It's compartmentalized.
You know, it has, with the caramel, or maybe it goes hand in hand with it, there's that baked good. I think one of the descriptors was
croissant.
Maybe it's not quite there.
Croissant.
You know, it could be pie crust.
Or croissant.
Croissant.
Or as Becky would know it. Pillsbury, what are the things? Crescent rolls. That's what it is. Crescent roll or croissant. She's just giving me dirty looks, folks.
I would give him the side eye.
I know, too bad
eye.
You can't hear eye rolls.
Well,
it's just part of it. You know, you just got to accept it. How are the earbuds working out right now?
Death.
Not too good.
Death, you're going to die.
But you look
slow death.
You look cool. So that's good.
I would say I look cooler than you.
No. Yes.
Beatings.
No, it's impossible. Yeah.
So question for you. I associate Chardonnay a lot of times with like open bar.
Yes.
Drinking it out of a plastic cup.
Hotel, bar. Yeah.
This is a nice Chardonnay. So how are you going to serve it? And what would you serve it with?
Because it's
not mixed nuts at the bar.
I would serve with baked capon with herbs.
And croissants.
And croissants.
If I'm just a medium restaurant, I'm not an upper scale, I'm not a $50 a plate restaurant, and I want to have a nice wine list, I want to serve this by the glass and highlight it as my Chardonnay.
Maybe $17 a glass.
$15, $17, whatever.
You know what this would be great with? A well-done, beautifully done herb-roasted chicken. A whole chicken that you carve that's juicy and delicious.
Yeah.
Lighter summer fare. This would be good with soups, salads, you know. Lighter rabbit. Fare.
Mm-hmm. Rabbit. It would be good with rabbit. Pheasant. Mm-hmm. Cornish game hens. Triple B loves those.
I was just getting ready to say, what are those little?
I'm not sure what the... You hate those things, don't you? They just wig you out.
Yeah. Mm, just, you know, any ooey gooey chicken roast fat.
Yes, but the herbs are really what are going to kick this off. So, I mean, you have your rosemary, your thyme. Scott's not a big rosemary fan, but...
It's for me, rosemary is more for the aroma than for the flavor.
True. It does,
it just doesn't do it. But the aromas, you did say the aromas.
Yep.
I'll give you rosemary.
It's beautifully presented.
I think with the right pork dish, like...
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough.
Pork tenderloins or...
Yes, and well, an herb-roasted tenderloin that isn't heavily done, this, you could do that because this has the body to do it with it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think we're... it is kind of between oily and almost buttery.
Yeah.
What a wonderful representative. It, you know, transparent, not in our wheelhouse, white wines in general. Oh. Chardonnays, as a rule, not in our wheelhouse.
Right.
Webster's Dictionary, Chardonnay, picture of Duckhorn Napa.
Well, as far as I know.
Fair enough.
I mean, I've had some that I would suggest that are on par with us naturally, but this is extremely good.
Yeah.
I mean, at $35, really, that's way below you're getting into silly prices. You know, if you drink one Chardonnay a month, you know, and you want it to be good, this is one you might think of. You really might. And it's better than the daggone, remember the Stag's Leap. With the Stag's Leap, and it's the same price range as this, this is better. Because this is far more expansive.
Karaya.
Yeah.
And it was lower. No, it's in the 30s. Yeah. It was in the 30s.
I mean, this, it didn't have the mouthfeel of this. It didn't have the expansiveness of the oak.
Upper 20s.
Yeah, occasionally.
It was simple and straightforward. This is more complex. Mm-hmm. And for all the complexity, can you have a more balanced wine than this?
Not really. No, not unless you spend a lot more. I mean, Marisolet is very good, but it's not Napa. It's, you know, down in Santa Barbara. Sanford is another one that's really great, but it's Santa Barbara. So in the Napas, that gets you in a little bit. You can get into Caneros and whatnot, but I think we've done plenty of Caneros Pinots, and I don't know if any of us are necessarily going to raise our hands and run out and say, "Give me Caneros." Russian River Valley, possibly, but... this is, though, from just your straight Napa appellation, is delicious. And quite frankly, folks, if you look for something Napa, do not buy Robert Mondavi Napa. We like Robert Mondavi products, their Napa series. We like their 50th. Cabernet. We like their Pinot. Triple B and I did their Pinot not too long ago. We enjoyed that.
That 50th anniversary bottle we had was fantastic.
The Fumé Blanc is very good.
It was phenomenal.
But their Chardonnay is not great. It's a KJ. It's just basically level a California appellation. Same way with Franciscan. Those aren't competitors to this. Just because it says Nap on there, those things are $14.99 for a reason, or $12.99 for a reason.
What about if you just... Would Mondavi have, you know, more upper line?
They do.
Chardonnays?
Yeah,
that
they do.
Might be a better comparison point.
Yeah. And I think they have a reserve level. They have all sorts of levels. They have so many levels. It's like a 50-story skyscraper.
Yeah, how much do you want to pay?
Yeah. Now, on one that would be interesting on this would be trying Ferrari Carano's Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. It's 20.
Okay.
That would be interesting to try in comparison to this. They're known for their Chardonnay. And there's some other ones out there that are readily available that you see that, you know, another one I keep bringing up is Marisolet.
Right.
And I know it's good, really good. But we had the Marisolet Silver on here that was in, the concrete cast,
I believe.
And that, we enjoyed that quite a bit. That's been a
really
while.
Really like that.
I don't know if that's aired by the time this airs or not. But
this is better. This is
absolutely
better.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is the lemon, like lemon rind, lemon peel, a flavor that we see in Chardonnay sometimes, or is that a different wine that I'm thinking of?
Well, it's I mean, I've seen it also in Sauvignon Blanc too.
Okay, I don't taste it in this. That's what I was.
And I think
you need a little more acidity,
and oftentimes with that dairy or like that lemon custard kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I've seen that in Riesling.
Yeah.
What is the damn thing with the scenes painted on the back of it? Arsvitas.
Yeah. Arsvitas. Yeah.
That's just lemon curd juice.
True that.
Now, we do have Hoag Late Harvest Riesling for the show soon.
Ooh.
That should get everybody very titillated.
Yeah. Yes. Not to be super meta about this Chardonnay, but I really like, I feel like the beginning is kind of feminine and delicate. And, it, you know, it's like these really light, fruity flavors. And then the end with the oak is like, is very strong. It's more of like a masculine taste to me. I really like that.
It's an apt description.
Yeah, you don't often have this whole journey in a glass of wine.
Yin and yang.
Yeah.
Aside from the use of the term meta, which I don't really understand. I don't understand what that means. I don't.
Spell.
It's
spell
because
it.
You're not meta. Sorry.
Well, I'm assuming I know how it was spelled. And I've seen it before. I just don't know the nomenclature.
Right. Like when people get really deep about stuff because I think it's not real.
I'm going to level
set
here. But I do
feel like... yeah. I'm not for sure your bandwidth
is. Why were you looking at Rob when you said that?
Jesus. No, Rob's all about... He's learning some corporate speak.
Uh-oh.
Not willingly. And I'm using it to my advantage in a sarcastic way. So...
Yeah, level set was something that he learned.
Level set?
No, it was just started to be used, and it was suspicious, the use. Let's just say,
I said
just started.
Something about bandwidth. That's a big one at my company.
Bandwidth? That's fucking stupid.
Yeah. But I love using different phrases out of context.
We know you do.
Yeah. Meta's not really corporate, though. Meta's more like hippie.
Kind of.
What does it mean? Explain it again. Or for the first time.
Meta and if is kind of like not to be too like, I don't even know.
Good, but you used it in a sentence.
No, meta would be like not to be too much of like a weirdo deep thinker person. We're so small, this world's so
big. You're trying
to
be basic? I'm trying to be basic.
Not basic.
Not basic.
It's just... Not trying to be too much.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good?
You're not trying to be pretentious. Is that fine? You're not trying to be James Suckling.
No, I'm not trying to like make this wine out to be more than it is. It's a glass of wine. However, I have a lot of other deeper thoughts around it.
And I thought it was really apt descriptor.
Yeah. No, your description was very well done.
Thank you.
You get a point.
World meta peace. Yeah.
That means you get 86 of... So, folks, we're going to take a break.
How many points does the basketball player formerly known as Ron Artest get?
I don't know about him, but you now get a 74 for bringing that up.
Damn it.
Here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the unlicensed does.
Well, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know, let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to discuss an article that was in the New York Times recently. I don't know if any of you out there read wine articles in the New York Times. I'm sorry. But it was there, and Scott does, which he's sorry in many levels. But nevertheless, this article, yeah, I was going to say wine. It's better than articles. But nevertheless, it was an article that's titled poorly. It was called, "It's Time to Rethink Wine Criticism." It's a really catchy article. It's almost like clickbait, only no one would ever click on that normally.
Well, it depends what the picture was.
Who was the author of
that? Eric Asimov.
I saw a picture of him. He's not attractive. Nevertheless.
Well, define attractive.
He's a pasty white dude. That's what he is. He's never had a tan in his life, in my opinion. See, I'm trying to add, in my opinion.
Think you're judging.
In my line of work, I actually had to research a libel case recently.
Interesting topic.
So now I'm going to say everything that's negative.
A little bit nervous about it.
With my opinion, in case you didn't know, this is just my opinion because the opinion defense it worked. Or the truth. See, everything I say about James Suckling is the truth. So that's different.
Well,
and it's also my opinion. But nevertheless,
can tell him I think he needs to back off a little bit.
Who Suckling?
You probably should.
Well, did he write an article or a letter saying he was crying a lot? Because that's what I'm going for. Nevertheless.
It was more of an email than a letter.
Although, this article, I agree in relation to
him.
From
his mother.
Well, anyway, I'm going to badly paraphrase the article. What this gentleman is doing, he is discussing about the, he's discussing the overall way wines are reviewed and how that may not apply, you know, in a useful sense to modern culture and modern wine drinkers and the current consumer, where, you know, you'll have someone put a number on a bottle of wine saying it's worth, and that doesn't necessarily help anyone, essentially. Is that kind of what he's saying?
Yeah, to some degree.
He's also attacking the accuracy in certain senses, which
for sure.
In some ways he's correct. He notes that some of the big wine reviewers, Wine Spectator, Robert Parker, God bless him.
Decanter.
Decanter. We know Decanter's wrong. But he's saying that they're doing blind tastings, but they're doing maybe 100 bottles. And they're assigning a score to each bottle after they taste it, you know, once, twice. They don't give much time to this. They don't take time. In reality, they're not taking time to savor the wine like you or I would, or Scott would, or even the Triple B would. Not Steve. Steve drinks too fast to savor it. But nevertheless, they're not drinking it in a normal sense. And I agree with him in that regard. But the question is, does a wine review have worth to the consumer currently? I think it does. And it does give you some sort of guidepost as to what's good and what's bad. With that, though, I think that there are many caveats. First of all, some wine reviews are guided by revenue. We know that. We're not going to point out any of those, but they are.
And I think that is a major point, because you are seeing wines and you taste them. You're like, oh, Wine Spectator gave this a 95. You mm-hmm. taste it and think,
bullshit.
My taste buds, you know, I would maybe score this an 87.
Right.
That's a James Suckling score, but...
But we've had Spectator, we've had Enthusiast. Yeah.
Well, I think that one thing the article states is that that reviews don't take into account someone's personal preferences, blah, blah, blah. However, a trained sommelier, someone that is very good at what they do, and this gentleman, I assume, is a sommelier and should know this, they are trained and knowledgeable, theoretically, on the Olympic scoring system, like what we refer to. This isn't my style. However, I can recognize that it's good despite not necessarily suiting me. They should theoretically be able to do that. I'm sure Robert Parker can do it. I'm sure Jeb Dunnett can do it because he has great hair. You know, there are reviewers that know wine. They just are better than this gentleman is at what he does. They are. That's why he... you know, writes articles that are titled poorly like that in the New York Times.
I like his stuff. And one point that he makes that...
He almost sounds like we do.
Well...
I only review 20 wines at a time. Well, we only review one fuckstick, so we're 19 times better than you.
But similarly, one of his goals of the article is that mm-hmm. maybe wine reviews should be... allow the wine drinker, the layperson... the opportunity to educate themselves about that wine. That's what we try to do.
Well, we do, but this is the thing. Magazines like The Spectator, even The Enthusiast, The Decanter, and all these articles have tons of articles about how to do that.
It's true.
Tons of information on their websites. The Enthusiast is all free. So they have podcasts. I mean, you don't want to listen to them because they're boring, but they go out of their way. And I'm not one... to sing the praises of a lot of these things. But they go out of their way to try to do that. Decanter has very interesting things about yep. winemaking procedures. They you know, they go way beyond anything that this douche has ever done.
Well, I think he's just...
very responsible in that regard. However, the only way in our society, in our humans, the only way we judge something is by a number.
Yep.
We give a number
particularly
to something.
Particularly in the U.S. of A.
Yeah, how good is something? We give it a number. I suppose you give it a star, but stars have a lot of wiggle room in them.
You would still do 4 stars.
Yes.
5 stars.
We give them a number, and that's what they do with wine. And guess what it is? It's for entertainment purposes at the end of the day. It's just entertainment.
Right.
Yeah. And here at the Wine Vault, I feel like we're all pretty sold on this, but we don't mention it often enough, mm-hmm. that if you like a wine that we think is terrible, like that wine. You know what
no.
I mean?
No.
Yes.
No, no, no.
If you like it and
give
it
up
is...
on yourself. Just there's nothing worth living for.
If
I mean,
you, if
I say
you
this
like,
all the time.
Yeah, if you like a cheap, shitty wine, like the cheap, shitty wine. You're yeah. drinking wine I, for enjoyment.
Put your lip over your head and swallow yourself.
When I meet someone and I talk about the show or yeah. wine,
all
and
the time,
somebody throws out Josh Cabernet, I say, listen.
You like that once.
Never apologize for what you like.
Except yeah. for Josh Cabernet.
Well,
no, Josh North Coast Cabernet. Apologize for that. The other one
be your guilty pleasure. Nobody cares.
Nobody.
Drink it. Drink
in fairness,
like.
So many hey, people.
Nobody has the guilty pleasure of Josh Cabernet. They just bought it. And there was a time when Josh Cabernet actually wasn't bad.
So,
and it still might be
so
okay.
So many people. It's about a price point. And it's about what you know.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Joseph Carr and Napa Cabernet. Remember how good that was?
Yep.
Currently, you can buy it for $29.99 of your money.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's just, that's aiming high.
Yeah. So I think part of what I like about this piece, and again, I encourage, it's June 17th this year, New York Times, Eric mm-hmm. Asimov article. And I quote, he says, you know, best way for consumers to negotiate wine reviews, he describes it as a confusing but pleasure-packed landscape. Okay.
It's not confusing.
It's a little
douchey. Yeah. It is confusing.
He no, says, is with some good general knowledge, which Rob mentioned, decanter, the speculator, the enthusiast, they have educational articles.
They do that for you.
They do that for you. And the courage to explore.
But also, Robert Parker. Robert, okay, when he was doing reviews, now it was online only then later, they did a periodical. All it was reviews. That's all they did. And it was basically for distributors. And
they came in like pre-hole punched.
Yeah, pre-hole punched things you put in a binder for retailers, distributors, and geeks.
It was like an 8x11.
Yeah.
Like a normal sheet almost like of an copy
old,
paper.
Yeah, almost like an old school investment guidebook.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it
yes.
was like, it was the Dungeons and Dragons version of
it's
wine.
It's like one step above that old printer paper that you yeah. have to tear the sides off yeah. of.
The people yeah. that bought that were not the people that go, well, is Barefoot Moscato really good? Will they tell me in the Spectator if it's good? No. No, 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 no. That's not what that was for. That person does not buy it because they can't read. Well, anyway, in my opinion.
I'm giving death stares.
Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Getting or giving?
Yeah, well, that's whatever.
Just eye rolls all over.
Becky has asked me that, and I said no. You know what Becky's favorite wine was when I met her? J. Roger Asti Spumante. It was. Twas. Not it was.
It
was.
It
was
J. Roger.
It was J. Oh, no, Andre. Like Andre.
It wasn't my favorite wine.
It was your favorite wine. Was it Andre or J. Roger?
It was Andre.
Oh, was it Andre? Oh, that's less worse.
I roll.
I did buy it for one time. You know what it tasted like? Sugar Heaven. And hairspray. You would actually gag and puke if you drank it today.
Yeah.
But you chose snobbery, and I appreciate that. You came to the dark side. You are far more pretentious than I am. That's not true.
That's so not true. Unless it involves Louisville sports.
That is a lie.
Or a particular Louisville coach who will remain unnamed.
Good. Anyway, but as to the article, I appreciate what he's trying to say, but at the same time, he's also thinking that people are stupid. They're not.
I disagree. I think he's saying that the masses deserve more. And I think one of his references is, what Parker brought throughout his career was just this exuberance about wine, and that
I would never associate that man with the term exuberance.
In his
he obviously
descriptors
had
of
a
wine,
passion.
Oh my
well,
god,
he was passionate, yeah. but he was very subdued about it. He was like a James Bond of passion.
But when he really liked a wine, it jumped off the page at you.
James Bond and passion probably are not the two words, but anyway, I would be suggesting that he probably committed crimes. I shouldn't say that.
Passion.
Well, James Bond never actually said, would you like to? He just did it. James Bond rule. It's probably not appropriate.
It's probably not a rule.
It never was appropriate, but apparently Sean Connery thought it was, and, you know, they did it.
Roger Moore, alongside him.
Yeah, but Roger Moore was funny, right? He did it in a funny way.
Well,
look how funny I am. You said no? Well, that means yes. I mean, whatever. I'm not saying Robert Parker is James Bond. Or is he? Jeb Dunnick might be James Bond, but still.
I like this article.
Do you?
I
know
that
you
he
do.
Encourages wine reviews to arouse the love of wine in people and not just be that put a number to it thing or pretentious descriptors. He wants
like
wine
part.
Reviews to inspire people.
Inspire
to try
people?
Wine. Read it.
Well, the people that are newbies don't know what the Wine Spectator is. That's
so
why they listen
I
to the
like
wine
in
vault.
This article
yeah.
yes.
is when he says that wine writers have so much to offer beyond the bottle reviews, introducing unfamiliar regions, grapes, and producers while revisiting old ones. Oh. I like that.
Does he want us to talk about Hungarian wines? Because we're not going to, because Hungarian wines aren't good.
No, I just think going beyond Napa.
Well, true. I mean, but Parker did. He did a review for everything.
There you go.
He speaks very favorably of Parker.
Does he? Because he blames him for everything.
Oh my goodness.
I mean you can blame James Suckling for everything because he's hey, whatever.
Oh, him and Fry Brothers.
What the fuck? James Suckling's never reviewed our wines. They told us that we had to leave and move to Chile, but we didn't. We're staying. Trump isn't going to run us out. Nevertheless,
well, it remains to be seen.
There is but the one thing I will agree, and then we'll cut it off because this is my thought.
I roll.
If you're going to drink 100 wines in a row, which that's what they do blindly, and you're not opening yourself to any discussion or thought or looking at the wine over a period of time, and you're tasting it blind, there's no way you can really encapsulate what that wine is there. And how often do we ever base our opinion on a wine after the second sip?
I was just going to say that.
Never.
How many times has our opinion been one thing on the second sip, and then as a wine opens up, it flattens, or it opens up and expresses something else? It's
That's because that's not how you drink wine.
Context.
The wine should be drank in the context in which it's purchased and consumed. And if you don't review it in that same context, what is the review worth? Mm-hmm. How many people are going to buy a bottle of wine to take two sips out of it, spit in a bucket, and then move on to the next? No one.
I'm sure there's somebody out there that has that fetish.
I would say wine is something
James Suckling.
Like almost more than anything else you read a review of that is meant to be you sit down, you enjoy it over a long period of time, usually with somebody else.
Fair enough.
There's also
I think that's a great point that you miss a lot if you're just doing a sip of it and moving on.
And there's also one thing a score does not encapsulate. What kind of experience does it produce for the entire group? What kind of discussion does it create? What kind of emotion, memory does it?
Yeah.
You can't quantify that in a score, and that's something that comes along with greatness. Mm-hmm. And only the great ones do that.
And also, and I do think also this is something he talks about in these reviews. Sometimes you can educate in them.
You got it out. That's good. That's good.
And the beauty of sharing a good bottle of wine maybe is with a newbie. You know, it's been fun when Steve used to show up. As his palate evolved and he appreciated things, it's been fun to see your palate evolve. You were a Pinot Noir.
You hated
Pinot Noir.
And now, oh my good Lord, that's what you want to drink. And now, Scott, it has to be lean and funk.
Did you take your poster of the Pinophile out of the closet and put it up in the bedroom yet?
I know.
You shouldn't have. That's normally on the dark web, but nevertheless.
Well,
we are going to take a break.
Do you need to say in my opinion?
Oh, yes. In my opinion, the Pinophile has a avatar on the dark web. And we're going to take a break, folks. And he doesn't, but nevertheless.
Well, he could.
That's liable. Here on the Wine Vault. That's actually slander, by the way. Here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, after that lively discussion, we are going to provide...
What about that lively song?
Oh, play on, player.
Intense we are going... rock shit.
Oh, no, that's actually our commercial. That was the song you just listened to, folks. Well, and I'm sure you are saying, wow, where can I buy that?
Well, what was the name of that song?
Intense Rock Shit, the actual name is. If you want to buy that song, folks, you don't have to buy it. You just have to have GarageBand and make it your fucking self. So, yes, that's right. It's very difficult. It's called Loops. I'm sure you figured that out. Why is that song going playing over and over again?
Well,
it's called a loop. Yes, that's right.
You're kind of loopy.
Yes. And right. By the way, a lot of, you know, engineers, whatnot, that do songs, pop songs and whatnot, they use loops. And that's all you're listening to. Nevertheless, and you can do it for free here on the Wine Vault. Nevertheless, we're going to review the 2015 Duckhorn Napa Valley Chardonnay. And we're going to start off with the Triple B.
Well, did I drink the other Chardonnay?
The Marseillais that we referred to?
No, the other one. Stag's Leap?
No, that was at our wine dinner where we had a beef cutlet.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that didn't sound familiar to me. Did you all rate that one?
On the inside.
Yeah. What did you rate it?
88.
Yeah. Yeah, 87, 88. Mm-hmm. I've actually recommended it to a couple of people, but I won't anymore.
Yeah.
Because I'll recommend this. Well, mm-hmm. If it's $5 or more, this is far superior than more than $5 in price tag.
I'm just, like, in my mind mentally, I'm thinking about buying this at full price.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And I a little bit have a hard time spending that much money on a white.
Sure.
Well, that's fine. But nevertheless, though, if, say, you gave this a 97, okay, you would find it a good value at that price. But would a 91 be a good value at that price? That's another question.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's not
right,
good.
Right, right.
I'll be honest with you. I don't give a F what this is rated at. I'm with you. This is $36, $35, $30, whatever. I'm buying this. I don't drink Chardonnay. But to have this around for when I feel a need for a Chardonnay...
Mm.
Yeah, this is the one I want to drink.
If you knew that you wanted a good Chardonnay,
yeah,
and you didn't want any question of, this is one of those that you know is there.
Yeah.
You know Duckhorn, but then again, you know Duckhorn is there. Duckhorn is a winery that is quality.
Yeah.
They don't have, I mean, they have Decoy, but we like Decoy.
Yeah.
I mean, more or less. But anything that says Duckhorn on it is quality. They know how to make Chardonnay. They know how to make Sauvignon Blanc. They know how to make Merlot, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how to make Cabernet. They know what they're doing. So they're not going to put something with their name on it that isn't shit. And that's one thing you say. If you put your name on it, is it good?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's not for me to decide if you're going to spend $35 on mm-hmm. a Chardonnay.
Talking to our listeners now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It is not for me to decide. This is a very good Chardonnay, and if you... I think at $21, I feel more comfortable reviewing it. The review that I'm going to give it, I know we don't do price, but I'm just saying.
We don't.
$35 for a Chardonnay to me is a lot of money.
I wouldn't,
because I don't normally.
So when you brought up, you're considering to pay the $36, that's weighing your mind on what you're about to say.
Yeah, and I think.
Let it go. Say what you're going to say.
I know. Yeah. So I like this Chardonnay a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, not to be super meta, there is like a feminine masculine element to this wine that mm-hmm. you do not often find.
Well, it's balanced.
Right.
It's a wonderful balance.
It's very, very nice. The oak is just so supremely well done.
Mm-hmm.
The finish is long. I think my hesitation is more that I just wouldn't look to a Chardonnay for these characteristics. Like if I wanted a wine, meaning like if I wanted a wine that had like a pretty bold flavor profile that was going to kind of take me on a journey, I would absolutely look more to a red wine.
Well, why shouldn't a white wine do that too?
I know, and I think that's part of my trepidation.
So does this do that for you?
Yeah, for sure.
That
right,
gives it
which
extra
is a
point.
Sign. Yeah, that's what I kind of where I'm getting to is Chardonnay is not my wine of choice, but it gives you what you're looking for kind of in a really nice red, full-bodied red because you do go along this whole journey. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the price, just because I don't prefer Chardonnay, maybe gives me a moment's pause, but I would feel very comfortable rating this a 91 or a 92. It's very good.
Which do you choose?
I'm going to go 91.
Oh, 92.
And I feel bad. I'm like, am I marking it down because it's, am I giving it a point less because it's a Chardonnay? But.
Well, when you find out my score, you'll understand whether or not you're right or wrong.
Oh, okay.
Because I already wrote it down.
Did you?
I did. I covered it up, though.
Recommend this highly.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
This is in the Wine Vault Wall of Fame.
Wall of Fame.
Give this also a 91. Wow. You know, why don't I score this higher? You know, this is not current vintage. And this, you know, how much longer would you want to hold on this? I don't know.
It's not showing any age in the coloration.
Yet.
I think another 2 years, maybe it would easily hold that.
Yeah. Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is a super prestigious Chardonnay that you're going to want to hold on to.
Not at this level, no.
But it's fantastic.
Collectability is what you mean. You
to some degree,
you buy it at Kroger. Why would you collect it?
Yeah, okay. But
let them keep it.
You know, why isn't it higher than that? It's not the longest thing, but this is really well done, masterfully oaked. I love the balance, love the complexity. Mm-hmm. Wonderful nose, subtle but wonderful, multiple components. Probably more in our wheelhouse than maybe a lot of Chardonnay drinkers, but this is an oakier Chardonnay, in my opinion. Yep. It's not the oakiest. What the oak is there is really well done. I love the transition that you described as feminine into masculine. I mentioned yin to yang. Mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful balance of the components in this wine. I'm 91 and I couldn't recommend this higher. And
yep,
I love it and I'll buy it at 36 at full price.
Strangely enough, before anyone gave their review, I also wrote down 91 of my points because this is a 91. It isn't one, like Scott said, and he's spot on. You're not going to collect Duckhorn, Napa right. Valley Chardonnay unless you want the most pathetic wine collection ever in the history of the world. But
in my opinion.
No, that's actually a fact. but nevertheless, it's an excellent wine. And for a special occasion, if you don't drink Chardonnay very often and you know you want a good Chardonnay, and it's a winery that we like and have some familiarity with that we know and enjoy. It's also, one we don't mind supporting, too.
Yeah, this was also a almost a great stretch for us.
Yeah.
Because we're not huge Chardonnay fans, mm-hmm. but it really stretched us and made us all think twice about Chardonnay, I feel like, which is a huge tribute to it.
Well, but back to the potpourri where we're talking about the wine review things. The wine reviews that were published on this was a 92, a 91, and a 90. Aggregate score is 91.
Yeah.
And we all agree it's a 91. And that's quite a few people that know what they're talking about reviewing a wine subjectively at different levels of expertise mm-hmm. and all saying the same thing effectively.
And different levels of being paid.
That's true. So and here we knew what it was, and we liked the winery. Mm-hmm. Not that figured in. I didn't expect it to be bad anyway, because you know of who they are. But nevertheless, that suggests at least in one example, where the wine reviews are correct. Yeah. It is a 91-ish kind of wine. It's a wine where you're getting value for your money, mm-hmm. even though you're paying more. You're still getting a wine that's a higher quality. Is it a classic level wine? No. But Napa Appellation, that kind of introductory premium wine, isn't a classic level wine. It's not intended to be. It never was intended to be. It never has been. So, but 91s are definitely something to be proud of. And so is the Wall of Fame. So.
And so is Duckhorn.
Yes. Tip of the cap, Duckhorn. Good job.
As always.
I would never spare my Merlots or my Cabs, though, for the show. I just have to drink those all by myself. But nevertheless, I'll talk about them, though, here in the Wine Vault. So for Rob, the wine guy, Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver, and the Triple B, we're going to bid you adieu and see you next time with a far more disappointing wine here on the Wine Vault. Good night.